Hey, it's Scott Petrick with another episode of the Brown Zone Coverage Podcast. Since our last pod, the Browns made a quick commitment to Jerry Jeudy, added another quarterback and running back, and hired Mike Vrabel as a consultant. New backup quarterback Jameis Winston also talked to the media for the first time. Here to discuss is Dave Chudowski of Go, the WKYC Morning News. How's it going, Chud?
Scott, it's going well. March is a big month, a busy month. I mean, there's so much going on with the off-season NFL, obviously, but St. Paddy's Day and March Madness. Personally, I have a lot going on, so the only thing that stinks right now is that even though it's spring, it still feels like winter out because it is winter out, it feels like, right?
It is cold. I haven't been doing a whole lot outside, but I know every time I let the dog out, I'm like, even yesterday it was really sunny. Let the dog out, I'm like, man, it's cold outside.
Yeah, it is. Well, at least we finally have the answer to who let the dogs out. Oh
Bad
man, that was terrible.
joke. That was bad
People are
joke.
tuning out right now because of that. Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah.
But oh yeah, March Madness, great time. But let's get into it and let's start with the Jerry Jeudy extension. And I think this one, I don't know, maybe caught me by surprise. I think. I don't know. I guess I wasn't expecting that to happen so quickly.
I'm with you, Chud. When they traded for him from the Broncos, I thought it was a possibility, right? Anytime a trade happens, guys in his entering the last year of his contract, it makes sense, right? It's a possibility to get that done. But, Jeudy's been a disappointment in his 4 years with the Broncos. Hasn't had a 1,000-yard season, never been to the Pro Bowl, although I did see him on Twitter the other day saying, well, if he hadn't missed time in, I think it was 2022, he would have gotten over 1,000 yards. But availability counts as well. But anyway, he feels like he hasn't lived up to that potential of the number 15 pick in the draft. And I thought, hey, maybe being on the last year of his contract would be a motivator. Maybe the Browns would see what he's like in the building, would want to see what he's like in the building, how he practices, how he plays before working on an extension. But Andrew Berry and the Browns executives decided that they saw enough, they believe enough in his potential, and they think they know where the receiver market's going. I believe they think they got him for a good price, and they locked him in. And it's 3 years, so it runs through 2027. I think it's a max value of $58 million. It's $41 million guaranteed. I'm not sure if that includes the $13 million he was going to get this in 2024 as part of his rookie contract that he had with Denver. But either way, it's a good chunk of money. It's not at the top of the receiver market, but it's a commitment to a guy that's never played a down for you.
Yeah, that's a lot of guaranteed money, I think. And I guess two things that maybe come to mind is number one, obviously the Browns feel they're going to get more out of Jeudy than the Broncos did. And number two, does this have to go with maybe looking ahead to where the wide receiver room might be down the line?
Yeah, that's interesting. You're 100% right that they think they're going to get more out of him, whether that's stability at the coach, stability at quarterback. I think Amari Cooper will have a big influence on Jerry Jeudy, both Alabama guys. Cooper's, just what you're looking for in a pro, right? Head down, works hard, doesn't miss time. I think he's going to have a positive impact. So the Browns also believe that. And that's why one of the reasons they think Jeudy is going to take a big step and become, one of the better receivers in the league, because that's how they're paying him. But I think you make a good point when you talk about the future of the position, because before the Jeudy extension, the top three guys, Amari Cooper, Jeudy, and Elijah Moore, were all entering the last year of their contracts. And, you could have gone, they could have gone into the season and finished the season and then maybe redid the whole receiving corps or paid whoever played the best, right? Like, they could have gone into that, into the season with that uncertainty, but they didn't want to do that. And now at least, one guy's going to be back in 2025, and that'll be Jeudy. Amari Cooper's entering, I think he's going to turn 30 before the season starts. So you have to take that into consideration. Elijah Moore, you know, I don't know if disappointment's the right word, but probably didn't live up to expectations last year after the trade from the Jets. So there's still uncertainty at that position moving forward. You have Cedric Tillman, who's entering the second year of his contract, you know, after being drafted. But at least Judy gives Andrew Berry and Paul DePodesta and all the people planning the future. You can lock him in. There's some certainty that he's going to be on your roster, or there is certainty that he's going to be on your roster. So there's some certainty at that position, as well as salary cap, right? One thing you can lock in under the salary cap is that Jerry Judy's going to make X amount of dollars in 25, 26, 27, right? So I think those are the reasons they did it. But if people want to criticize the move, I completely get it, because he has not played through 4 years in Denver, has not played at a level to justify that contract.
Well, maybe part of this goes back to what you said last week. You mentioned that you always will remember if a guy was drafted in the first round. What was he, 15 overall?
15 overall.
So, you know, let's say he was drafted in the third or fourth round. This probably wouldn't have happened. I mean, he's probably still, you know, not living off of being a first-round pick necessarily. Well, maybe. Maybe he's living off being a first-round pick.
Yeah, I think you're right. But we just view things differently, right? So let's say, you know, I think it was 972 yards. I'm going to look it up. But his best year in Denver, right? That feels like a disappointment if you're the number 15 pick in the draft. If you're a third rounder, it's viewed like then he kind of exceeded expectations, right? Donovan Peoples-Jones was a sixth-round pick. He had, you know, a year like that. It was 972. You know, he had a year like that, and people, oh, he's really out, you know, outliving his, or, you know, playing above his draft status. So that does, it does factor into it a bunch, but I probably said this last week when we talked about it. It's about the talent, right? And the potential is why you're drafted number 15, why you're drafted wherever you are in that first round. And that doesn't go away. You know, now you might never live up to it as a player, and that's happened plenty of times, but the talent, assuming there's not a devastating injury, the evaluators can keep coming back to that talent as a reason to take a chance on a guy. And it's not like Judy's been totally awful with the Broncos. He just hasn't been good enough.
Yeah, that's true. All right, let's go to Jameis Winston, who you can almost argue the same thing for him. He hasn't been awful, but he just hasn't been good enough. And he's the Browns' new backup quarterback. He spoke this week. I guess from what I heard, and I listened to most of it, not all of it. I know you listened to every word of it. What'd you think? I mean, he sounded pretty good to me. I mean, it sounded like he, you know, you say, quote on the old adage, won the press conference, right?
Yeah. He's a likable guy. And that's just not from, you know, a 15-minute Zoom. It's been his reputation for a while in this league. People I know in the locker room really liked him in New Orleans. He's got a lot of personality, you know, not that this means anything, but when I got up to ask my question on Zoom, he's like, Scott, I can't see your face, which was a Zoom issue because I had my camera on, and I don't know if it just didn't pop into, you know, the screen, like, you know, how some Zooms work. But he goes, hey, I'm a people person, you know, and he called everybody by their name. So I think he's a guy that connects with people. When the Browns talk about him being a good fit for that quarterback room, I think he's going to be really supportive of Deshaun Watson. And I mean, you can get that from talking to him. You can get that from his quotes, but just the vibe is, yeah, he's going to do everything he can to support Deshaun Watson. We've talked about it a million times. That's what the Browns are trying to do, is give Deshaun Watson the best atmosphere for him to succeed. And, you know, having a bubbly personality as the number two quarterback, you know, Winston brought it up. They're both from the Deep South. They're both African-American. And he thinks he can, you know, that helps him relate to Watson and things he's gone through. No, not that Joe Flacco wouldn't have been supportive, right? Because that was the choice. But Winston doesn't feel like, I know he wants to start, right? Everybody wants to start. I know that's still his goal, is to be a starter. But I was convinced that he's fully embraced the role of backup to support Deshaun Watson. He talked about Watson being able to lean on him, named a bunch of different ways he could support him, whether it's through film study, all kinds of things. You know, now I have to say, though, you know, Winston has some baggage in his background, right? I mean, he was suspended. I think it was the start of the 2018 season because he was accused of groping an Uber driver. There was a sexual assault allegation while he was at Florida State from another student. That got settled. The lawsuit got settled out of court. There weren't any criminal charges. So he has that baggage. He says he's a different person. That I think it was 4 years ago, he got married. He's got kids. You know, he talks a lot about his faith. So, you know, I just think you have to mention that. But I think where the Browns are, they look at this guy who's going to be a positive influence in the building, in the room, and really, I keep saying it, but it just struck me over and over again, really supportive of Deshaun Watson.
You know, Scott, I've been doing some more thinking about it, and I kind of said it. I tried to kind of explain it before, but I believe it more now. I got to tell you, when I look at this backup QB situation, if I needed a guy to just come in and win me two games to get me to the playoffs at the end of the year, I'd rather have Joe Flacco right now. Mm-hmm. But I think if Watson gets hurt week one or week two, I think I'd rather have Winston for the whole year than Flacco. I'd rather roll the dice with him.
I think that's a fair statement, Chad. I really do. And I agree with you. I just don't know where that cutoff number is, right? Is it two games? Is it four games? Like, where's that number where the trust factor in Flacco shifts to you want younger, right? You want 30 instead of 39, right? I think it's a scale, and I don't know where that number is. It's probably, for me, somewhere above four. But you're 100% right. If it's a whole season, I would want Jameis Winston too. And just from a football perspective, right, not supporting him, you know, not as a backup guy, not as a resource for Watson, not his personality, just from an on-the-field standpoint, he made strides when he was in New Orleans under Sean Payton, right? His last year, and it's a weird career, and it's a weird league when we talk about quarterbacks and who gets a second chance to start and all those things. You know, he finishes 2019 with the Buccaneers, leads the league in attempts, leads the league in yards, throws for 5,000 yards, but he also throws 33 picks. So that's his last year in Tampa. Tampa moves on, goes get Tom, you know, Tom Brady and wins the Super Bowl. And then Winston goes to New Orleans. He's behind Drew Brees. Then he gets a chance to start, and I think he was 5-2. I'm looking up right now, right? So we got 33 picks in 09. Doesn't start at all in 2020 in New Orleans. Goes 5-2 the next year as a starter. Goes 14 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Doesn't throw for a ton of yards in those 7 starts, only 1,170. But is taking care of the ball like you need to take care of, like Sean Payton mandates. Then he tears an ACL on a horse collar tackle, and that's the last time he had an extended period to start. He started 3 games the next year, got hurt, never got the job back. The Saints went to Andy Dalton. So my point is, like, there's some reason to believe that he's matured as a quarterback, that he's matured as a decision maker on the field, and that with Kevin Stefanski, with good coaching, with good play calling, he can be a successful quarterback and win games for you. So I agree with your point, Chuck.
What's the latest on Deshaun Watson health-wise?
Yeah, I mean, I keep waiting for the video, the Instagram, to come where he's throwing the football. And it could happen at any time. I don't know if it would be on a Friday. I'm hoping it's not. We're taping this Friday morning. I hope it's not while Northwestern's playing in the NCAA tournament in a couple hours. But that's how we're going to know, right? That's the next – we talked about. That's the next milestone in this recovery. He says he's feeling good, either on schedule, ahead of schedule. It's how does his shoulder respond to throwing, whether that's this week or next week. It's going to come, you know, it's supposed to be this month, right? So we're running out of time this month. So within the next week, he's expected to start throwing. I'm sure it'll be light throwing early and then ramp up. And this segues into what I'm sure you're going to ask, Judd. is the Browns want to be careful with him, and they do not want to rush him. And the offseason program starts April 15th. OTA start in May. They signed Tyler Huntley on St. Patrick's Day, or agreed to a deal. It became official this week because they want another arm in that room. You can never have enough quality quarterbacks. He fits the mold, right? Tyler Huntley, we saw him in Baltimore, can run, can throw, veteran minimum deal, you know, type of thing, where they felt like they needed one more piece of insurance. And it's not supposed to be viewed as Watson's not going to be ready for the season. It's they want to be real careful with him. And having another body, another arm, allows them to do that during the spring.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. So they want to have four bodies there when camp starts.
Right. Three besides Watson, right? And yeah, right. Sometimes you have that throughout training camp. Sometimes you don't. But they certainly want at the beginning of the program. And now, hey, it's also insurance, right? We saw what happened last year. We don't know how Watson's going to come back from the shoulder surgery, right? He hasn't thrown yet. So all those things are a factor. And if you're the Browns, I think it makes sense to have your quarterback room, quote unquote, set in March with the uncertainty about Watson. There's no, I don't think there's any more doubt about Watson than there was a month ago, 2 months ago. It's just, all right, here's the circumstances. We're getting ready. It's free agency. Let's get that other arm in here to protect Watson now. And just in case, the rehab, the recovery from the shoulder surgery doesn't go as they hope and plan.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about some of the other deals that they've agreed to. I don't think we need to spend a lot of time on it. Nothing earth-shattering, but you want to just get it out there and just let people know if they haven't heard. I'm sure they have, and maybe just a quick opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think Dante Foreman is the big one this week. Running back, you know, had an Achilles that hurt, affected him early in his year or early in his career. He was picked in the third round by Houston a couple rounds after Houston selected Deshaun Watson. So they've been teammates down with the Texans. Missed a bunch of times with the Achilles, came back. It's a bigger back. I think as the Browns try to figure out this running back room with the uncertainty in Nick Chubb, right? I don't expect him to be ready to go week one. So you have to have your stable of backs ready week one. And you got Jerome Ford. You have Pierre Strong Jr. They signed Nyheim Hines, who is more of a change of pace receiver, returner kind of guy. They needed a guy to take Kareem Hunt's place. And I think Foreman adds that ability. He's a big body. He can run between the tackles. He can score touchdowns. So now you have, you know, you have Ford, Foreman, hopefully Hines, and Strong, and then Nick Chubb whenever he comes back. And they could still draft a guy, right? But this gives you a veteran short yardage back.
So it seems like we've seen a lot of tweets out there about some players who look like they're going to work out for the Browns. Anything stand out to you there?
Now, I mean, I think it's Aaron Lynch. He was a defensive end, hasn't played in the league in a couple of years. You know, I think he's 31. They haven't signed him, so he worked out. You know, this is that type of season. My takeaway from that and other guys that they have in, you know, and that's throughout the year, right? Once free agency starts, the league year starts, they have guys in to work out a bunch. Is that the Browns will look under any rock. And that's a perfect example, right? A guy's been retired for 2-3 years. All right, let's see what he looks like. And we've seen that from Andrew Berry and his personnel department time and time again. And it doesn't always lead to something, but you never know, right? And we've seen the 53rd guy on the roster have an impact. That's why you can't take any of these things for granted.
All right. Late last week, it was pretty much after we taped the pod last week, Mike Vrabel news, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty significant. And not that he's going to have a huge role, right? He's a consultant. He's going to be a consultant for the coaching staff and the personnel department. He's developed strong relationships with Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry. But this is a guy that's got a huge reputation, right? Played in the league forever. Won 3 Super Bowls with the Patriots. played for Belichick, played for Bill Cowher, both Hall of Fame coaches. You know, grew up in the Akron area, or was born in Akron, moved to Stowe, played at Wash Jesuit, All-American at Ohio State, right? So this is a guy that, I mean, everybody's familiar with. Then he becomes a head coach with the Titans, leads him to the playoffs, wins division championships, goes to the AFC championship game, old school coach that, you know, I obviously when you have that kind of resume in the building, it helps. And I think it helps the coaching staff. It helps the personnel department. It adds a lot, right? You bring all that New England experience. You bring all, you bring your time as a head coach. So I think it's an interesting, I think it's a really interesting hire. I think it has a chance to benefit the entire organization. Obviously, he's available because he got fired by the Titans, didn't get another head coaching job, wants to stay connected with football. This opportunity, this team makes sense. You know, I you can look at it as, oh my gosh, is this some, you know, if you want to look at a, I don't know, conspiracy theory kind of thing, right? Well, the Browns, maybe they're, you know, they got him in the building. If things go wrong with Stefanski, he'd be the guy. And I understand why you would look at, someone would look at it like that. I don't, you know, I've been told that that's got nothing to do with it. I still expect an extension for Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry. We haven't seen it yet. I'm surprised we haven't seen extensions for both those guys yet. I still think it'll happen. And I don't think the variable, you know, the variable hire as a consultant means anything toward that. I think he's just, I think he's a really good hire. And we talk about Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski. They really have a lot of self-belief. And I think a perfect example of that is last year, I'm sure we talked about it, Chud, when they hired Jim Schwartz as defensive coordinator. People thought if the Browns go 0-4 to start the season, Schwartz is a perfect guy to be to take over as coach, right? Because he'd been a head coach before. And Stefanski didn't bat an eye. He hires Jim Schwartz, and he turns it into the number one ranked defense, and the Browns go to the playoffs, and Stefanski is coach of the year for the second time, right? So Kevin Stefanski believes in himself, and I don't think having Mike Vrabel around is going to change that at all.
Yeah, kind of surprised Vrabel didn't get another job as a head coach.
Right. I mean, me too. He's, you know, I think if you made a list before last season, he's in the top 10, right, coaches in the league. And I don't know if he did anything last year to change my opinion. I know they didn't win a bunch of games the last 2 years. You know, but he had quarterback issues. Obviously, we know how important that is. You know, he's, you know, you wonder, he's an old school guy. He's a defensive guy. Although we had some defensive coaches hired as head coaches last, you know, in this last coaching cycle. He probably has a big enough personality that maybe he rubs some people the wrong way. But I'd be stunned if he's not, you know, he's him and Belichick are probably at the top of the list of right now candidates for, you know, the 2024 cycle.
Yeah. All right, well, we taped this on Friday morning. You probably would have been annoyed if I said, hey, let's tape this at 12:15, because I have a feeling you have plans at 12:15.
I do. I do.
All right.
I got to find some purple shirt. I got plenty in this house. I got to pick the right purple shirt to wear.
Yeah. Northwestern, Florida Atlantic, right? 12:15?
Yeah, and I forgot Florida Atlantic went to the Final Four last year.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, how about that? All right, that's it for me. I think down the line here, we'll probably be talking, you know, rumblings of Browns playing in Brazil maybe, and stadium talk, but we'll save that for another day.
Yeah, I'm with you, Chad. We got, I won't be there, but the owners' meetings are next week, early next week. So the Haslams will talk. You know, they usually only talk two or three times a year. Yeah, I'm trying to think. The owners' meetings, we usually get them in training camp. And then sometimes it's like at the end of the year, if they're going to keep a coach or fire a coach, you would think if there's an extensions for the guys, maybe they'd come out and talk then. But we'll see. I'm sure they'll be asked about the extensions, asked about the stadium, and all those big picture items. So yeah, I think that's kind of next on the agenda. And then, you know, we got the draft about a month from now. So thank you, Chud, as always. Hey, you're, let anybody who didn't notice, it was Chud's birthday this week. So happy birthday to Chud.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome, buddy.
Appreciate that.
So happy birthday. Enjoy your weekend, Chud. Thanks for doing this as always. Thanks, everybody, for listening. This has been another episode of the Zone Coverage Podcast, and you can read all my work at brownzone.com. Thanks.